Good evening. I thank the Lord for saving my soul and also giving me the opportunity to serve in his vineyard. I've served the first church or the first missionary church of our country, that is Mount Zion, for 21 years. And I'm grateful to the Lord that he has blessed the church. We now have four churches out from Zion and about 10 missions going on around the places. We are grateful to the Lord for all these blessings. For about 3 years now, I've tried to bring my wife to come and have fellowship with the minister's wife at the minister's school. But she had been denied a visa all the while. But fortunately, this year, he was given the opportunity to come. Amen. And I'm grateful to the Lord that he has allowed her finally to come and see what is being done over here. Amen. When I go back, sometimes the ladies will find a card. They will write things of encouragements to be given to her and to tell her how they love her. I do all those things. And he has wanted to come even just once to see what is done over here. I'm grateful to the Lord that finally he has allowed her to come. Amen. And visit and see how things are down here. And I know that she is excited because comparing things here back to my country, it means things over there are just little. Everything here is huge compared to those things we have back home. I'm also grateful to the Lord that my daughter, who has been here for about 8 years, and with her husband and two kids, are also here tonight. And I'm grateful to the Lord for these blessings, for the first time to see my grandkids. We are still happy, we are excited, and we don't know what to do. I was just telling my wife, if we don't take care, we'll spoil this case. So we will not have much time to do that, and we are grateful to the Lord. I'm also grateful to Faith Church for this opportunity, and all the churches that have come to support. I thank you all for your prayers, your help, and everything that you have done to help us with the work that has been going on in Africa, especially Ghana, to be precise. I'm thankful to you all. I'm praying that the Lord will continue to put us together or to let us do things together. As my brother was telling you here this evening, that we have to do things together, help one another, so that you will let the work of the Lord go on and progress to his glory. Tonight, I want to let us consider what the Lord Jesus Christ himself told the disciples and the people who were around at that time, when they ask him about what will happen at the end of the world. He was giving a list of things that will happen before the end time comes. And suddenly, he talked about Lot and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and how marriages, work, and everything will not cease but will continue till time. He was giving all these things, telling and warning them of false prophets and false gospel that will be infiltrated or will be preached and to deceive people, believing that they are on the right track, not knowing that they are on their way to hell. And suddenly, he told them, remember Lot's wife. You find this in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter and the 32nd verse. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. When you start from 28, the Bible reads, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his staff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Somebody will ask, what has Lot's wife done? What has he got to do with the subject that he was discussing with the people around him? What is the lesson they should learn from Lot's wife? When the time of separation arrived for Lot and his family to leave the town of Sodom, Lot's wife, whose name was not mentioned, couldn't tear herself away from the things in that city. He has been in that city for a long time, and he has always loved the things that were in the city, though he was associated or he was married to a gracious man, a man called Lot. But when the time for the decision to be taken to leave this sinful city, this woman disobeyed the commandment of God, or what God told her or the family to do. And I want us to consider some things or some privileges that this woman had and which should have helped her to leave the city, run to Zoar or the mountains, so that she should have not been destroyed. The first of the privileges that he had was that she was faithfully warned. She was faithfully warned. When you look, or you turn with me to Isaiah 55, the 7th verse, it tells us that, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Amen. She should have forsaken her ways. She should have turned to the Lord for the Lord to take care of her and the rest of the family. When you read the book of Genesis, that is the 19th chapter, and the 13th and the 14th verse. Genesis 19, verse 13 and 14. "For we will destroy this place because," or let me start from verse 12. "And the man said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whosoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So, this lady, whose name was not mentioned, being referred to as Lot's wife, was warned fully. He was told that the city was going to be destroyed. Nothing will remain. So, they should flee from the city into the mountains so that they will be saved. But he did not take this warning. And the second privilege was that she was related to a righteous man, that is Lot. And when you read 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us that the Lord knows how to deliver the just who was versed and with the guilty conversation of the wicked. Lot, though he was in that city, he was versed with what was going on. He was not happy, but I don't know the reason why he was still in that city. He should have left so many years ago, but he was tolerating whatever was going on, and that corrupted his wife. That put his wife in that situation. For him, he was able not to mingle himself with all those evil things, sodomy, lesbianism, and all those kind of things. He was lucky that he was not mingled with those things. Let me say this. Christianity parents can't save their children. Though it is good that our mothers, our fathers will bring us to church so that we will hear the gospel and know so many things about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But if it comes to the time of accountability, and if you know that you are lost, and if you don't repent and turn to Christ and ask him for forgiveness or ask him to save you by bringing you to the church alone, though it's good, I like it, that will not save you. Amen. You have to do more. You have to turn to him and ask Jesus to help you. So this lady was related to a righteous man, but it didn't help him. It didn't help her. So that means if your pastor, your father is a preacher, your father is a deacon, and you don't surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. Amen. You have to do it. No, your dad, your mom can do it for you. You have to go to the extra mile and surrender your life to Christ for him to deliver you, for him to make things right with you. Amen. So this woman was having one of the privileges, being married to a righteous man. And the third one was that she was warned by the angels. She was warned by the angels. Those who were sent to go and destroy this city, they warned them. What was the warning? They should go. They shouldn't turn back. Sometimes the Lord will give instruction. We will start to do things that the Lord has commanded. But along the way, we will think, oh, after all, when I compare myself to this brother, it seems I'm doing a little bit better than him. So why not do this? After all, I've been coming to church all the while. So what about taking a leave for 2 weeks or for a month? You shouldn't do that. The Lord has warned us not to forsake the assembly of Christ. We have to come every day, every time that we know that it is the Lord's day. If you have the time, you have the chance, you have the opportunity, you have to come. You don't have to forsake the assembly of the Christ Church, because your presence is needed. As the brother and the sisters came to sing, if one of them, the guitar player, couldn't come, they couldn't have sung. Or even if they would sing, it would not be as beautifully as it was done. So you have to what? You have to come. She was warned. He was given the instruction not to turn back, but to look ahead, go, flee, leave the place, and don't turn back. Amen. But he disobeyed, and that is how it went to, he was destroyed. We have to know the way of salvation. Jesus Christ, he has come. He has gone to the cross. He is the lamb that was slain from the foundations of this world. He died for me. His blood was shed for me. Without the shed of blood, there will be no remission of sin. Jesus Christ has done that for me. And the Lord has told us, if you come, if you hear the gospel, and if you are convicted, if you know that you have sinned, you have done things wrong against your brother, it is against me that you have done all those things. Because I instructed to be to love your brother, to love your sister, not to hate your sister or to do things otherwise. So if you do anything contrary to what I've instructed, it is me that you have sinned against. So if that is how it has been done, then we have sinned against God. And the Bible tells us plainly, all have sinned and we have come short to the glory of God. We are all sinless. It doesn't matter. I was telling Southside Chair this morning, one time, Brother Bryson came to Ghana, and I was asking him, Brother Bryson, I think Africans, you know us. We do things that are not good. Sometimes they are evil. But I don't think you white people, you maybe find an evil person even within. He said, are you sure? Human beings are the same everywhere. You may have good people and bad people as well. So don't think that because I'm white, I am a saint. If I'm a saint for now, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But those who are not, you will find evil people among us. So don't think that it is only the blacks who are sinful. It is all have sinned. That is the scope. Not black, not white, not yellow. All have sinned. And it is you and me and everybody that Christ has died for. And we all have to repent and come to him and ask him for forgiveness for him to save us. So this lady was warned, but he did not take the warning. That is how people do today. They will just go and listen to the gospel somewhere, but instead of going the extra mile, and when they are being convicted, going on their knees, humbling themselves, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, a preacher will just tell them, pray after me, easy believism, or step to Christ, do this. And after the people have done that, he will pronounce them saved. That is not the way of salvation. That is not how Christ has provided. He asks us to seek him until we find him. Amen. The preacher, what I can do is to preach the gospel and guide you to come to Christ. I've finished my work. I can't save you. I don't have anything that will bring you salvation. The only thing I have is the gospel. And when I preach it, when I instruct you, or when you are instructed, I've finished my work. The rest is with Christ, our Savior and our King. He has the power to save. And it is him that we should turn to. And if you are instructed, if you have been guided to do it, and you don't do it, and you do it the other way, you are just like the wife of Lot. That is Lot's wife. And the other privilege that the lady had was that he was the subject of Abraham's prayer. You remember? Before the angels went to Sodom, they met Abraham. And after the wife has prepared some food for them, it was that day that he promised that before he comes back next year, Isaac will be born. And when they were about to go to Sodom, they thought it wise to maybe reveal what they are going to do to Abraham. And they told him, the Lord has sent us to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy that city. And Abraham pleaded, if you go and you find about 50 people, will you destroy the city? They said, if you find 50, we shall not do that. He pleaded until they got to the number 10. So he was the subject of Abraham's prayer. Abraham prayed that the Lord will save some people in that city. And this woman should have been the answer to Abraham's prayer. He had all these privileges to obey the instructions that the angels, that the Lord has given to them. But she disobeyed. He didn't do it as the Lord has instructed. And that caused her turning into the pillar of salt. So he had all these privileges, but he didn't take advantage of them. There are some people here who are also having these same privileges. You have good parents, or you have a saved husband, a saved wife. He has brought you here. You have been hearing the gospel every day. What are you doing about it? Or you just want to come and sit beside your wife or beside your parents and listen to the gospel and go away without being instructed? If you do that, Christ is telling you, remember Lot's wife. Amen. He had all those things. Amen. When I come here, I always tell you that you have been blessed. Yesterday night, when we were taken to Golden Corral by Brother Roger, and when we were eating, my wife said, when I have a lot of food to eat, I'll always remember my baby. I don't know whether they also have food to eat now. Every mother, when food is set before her, then she will remember her babies that they have not eaten. You have much. You have a lot that you can't even take it. We don't have that privilege. When you go outside, you see so many cars. By coming to a church in Africa, maybe you see a van that will pick people, or one or two people with those cars. The rest will walk to the church. Amen. Mile, 2 miles, but they will come. You have everything that will make you comfortable to serve the Lord. But sometimes you don't know how blessed you are to take those things and thank the Lord and continue and do what he wants you to do. You have been blessed. God has given you all these privileges just like Lot's wife. If you don't take those privileges and do what the Lord wants you to do, it will come to a time that the Lord will bring you before himself on the day of judgment. And he will tell you, depart from me. I don't know you. I have not even know you, even for a day. And that day will be a sad day for you. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the time for you to turn to Christ and ask him for forgiveness. Somebody will ask, what was her sin? This woman preferred Sodom and its wickedness to what God offered her. God offered her safety. God offered her salvation. But he preferred the wickedness of Sodom, the things that were done, but God abhorred. It was distasteful to God. This woman preferred those things than what God has provided for her. There are some people, maybe even not here, they like the pressure, the pomp, the excitement that is going on in this world. And they are enjoying themselves in that, forgetting that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. He will take his own home, but the rest, he will throw them into the unquenchable fire. And I don't want you to go there. For God does not take pressure in those sinners dying. He wants them to turn from their sins and come to him. That's why he has thrown so many invitations when you start from Genesis to the book of Revelation. The last one is Revelation 22, verse 17. He wants us to come to him, to turn to him, to ask for forgiveness, for him to forgive them and save them to his own glory. So this woman's sin was that he preferred Sodom and its wickedness. He did not like what God has offered her. There are some people, all that God is doing, the mercy that he is showing to them, the love and everything, they have taken them for granted. The Lord is doing all this for you to know that he loves you. For God loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God wants to save you. God wants you to come to him so that he will help you out of this mess. This world has nothing to offer you. There's nothing good here. Everything is evil. Satan is doing everything possible. He knows the place that we are talking about. He was there. He was the morning glory. He was the one who was commanding heaven choir. He sinned and he has been thrown out from heaven to this earth. And he is trying to do everything, preventing you and me from going to heaven. But God, through Jesus Christ, had made everything possible for you to come back to him once again. Amen. Why don't you turn to him and ask him to forgive you so that he will help you through? And I can also say that this woman presumed on God's mercy. Maybe he thought that because he had even sent angels into our house. So the Lord will not do anything bad so far as he is concerned. He loves us, my husband and maybe my family. That's why the angels have even come to our house so that I can do whatever I want. But it did not happen. It did not work that way. Though the Lord loves us, he has mercy on every thing that we do. He wants us to repent. Even if we do things wrong, he wants to correct us. He wants to bring us back on track. He wants to help us so that you'll be grounded in the faith. That's why he's doing all these things. Do not let us presume on God's mercy. For one day, he will say, time no more. There's no time for you to do anything anymore. I'm done. I've done everything possible to help you. If you have disregarded all these things, then today I don't have anything for you. It may be your doomsday. So if you are here and you are lost, you have to turn back to him and ask him for forgiveness. This woman, why did he turn back? He turned back because of unbelief. Maybe he thought, are these people rather angels? Are they not here maybe to trick us, maybe to take our property and trying to move us away from our property and take them over? He did not believe what she was told. That is what is happening. Jesus Christ, he has gone to the cross. He has died. People celebrate Easter, Christmas, and all those festivities. But people still don't believe Jesus Christ is their savior. It was him that God sent to die for them. People still are still in unbelief, thinking that, if you tell people Jesus Christ is coming back again, how many years has he died? Has he gone back to heaven that you are talking about? Even if he was on a, we call something, trog, a four-wheel tie, it is, I would say it is an African kind of a thing that we pull goods on. It is somebody or it is one person who will just pull it. And you can't go very fast. It is just a thing that you pull, a four-wheel. And so you can't go fast. And people will compare that if Jesus is on that even truck, which can go fast, he should have come by now. So let us continue to do whatever we want to do. Jesus is coming back. And soon and very soon, we shall see our King. So if you are here and you know that you are not saved, you have not put things right with your Lord, Christ is telling you to remember Lot's wife. And I want also to talk about her fate. What happened to Lot's wife? Her judgment or her destruction was sudden. It was final. There was no second chance. He was not given another chance to maybe to go and do things right and come back. Immediately he turned into the pillar of salt. He did not even turn 180 degrees. When he decided to turn her back, then he became a pillar of salt. It was sudden. It was final. But you have given so many opportunities to come to Christ. But that day, it will be final. When Christ pronounced you guilty, that is all. And don't wait till that time. Come to Christ now. The woman deserved what he got because he had all these privileges. That day, there's no way you could have said or you tell anybody, if God has given me another month, I will have repented. Look at the days. Look at the weeks. Look at the years that you have had opportunity to hear the gospel being preached. Sometimes you are burdened or you are moved to go and ask the Lord for forgiveness, but you have ignored. The Lord wants you to come to him and ask for forgiveness. It was just like Ananias and Sapphira. When they sold the land and they tried to hide some money and they went into the church just to make people know that they have also done something good. And when Peter asked them, "Are you sure that this is the money that you got from the sale?" He said, "Oh, yes. I did not take even a peso." Then he fell down. The wife came. He was asked the same question. He also told a lie and he died. They did not have the second chance. That is what happened to Lot's wife. That is why Christ is asking us to remember this woman. He did not have any second chance. So don't think maybe tomorrow I will do this. Tomorrow never comes. Today is the day of salvation. You have to do something today. If you don't do it, I don't think there is another chance or another time for you. You have to turn to the Lord and ask him to forgive you and help you in all that you do. Though we go through struggles, we go through so many things, but the Lord has been good to us. He has been helping us. He has been guiding us. He has been doing all these things for us without leaving us a day. The Lord will continue to help us, to bless us, to guide us till he comes. So tonight is your day. Don't turn him away. Christ is here waiting for you to come to him. remember Lot's wife. What privileges he had. What chance he had. But he abused it. And that ended her in destruction. I don't want you to go to that place, but to turn to the Lord, for the Lord to save you, to guide you, and to provide everything that you need for you, so that you will thank him at the end of it all. I thank you tonight for your attention. I know that the Lord will use this to convict people and help people out. And those he has saved, they will take instruction from that and do whatever the Lord wants them to do. Thank you. Amen. Amen.